great song. That obviously was written by someone who had spent some time with God.
Well, this morning's message is called Three Questions Every Believer Should Ask Himself or Herself. Three Questions Every Believer Should Ask Himself. In light of the message this morning, you know, I've been taking quite a few biblical counseling seminars, and the reason I have been doing that is because I want to know all I can to be able to help as many people as I can. And the Bible has all the answers. And I just put down, you know, as I've been to different counseling classes and have finished them, I found out that they all have basically the same things in common. And, you know, you may have a different approach, but it's always the same methods. But, you know, there's a reason for that. It's all from the same source. You know, it's all right from the Bible. And there's three things that I've learned about biblical counseling, or taking these classes. And the first thing that I learned was that the Bible does actually have all the answers to every human problem that you might face. And as I was thinking about that, then why is it that the Bible solutions aren't being used today very much in the problems that people have? Well, you know, the Bible is simple. The reason the Bible is simple is because God intended it to be understood by us. You know, God, His knowledge is way superior to ours. He knows what we need. He created us. He's the creator. When you make a machine, who writes the manual on how to operate it? It's the manufacturer. Why? Because they know it inside and out. God knows us inside and out. He knows all three parts of us, body, soul, and spirit. The Bible says that He knows our very thoughts. Now, that can be sobering if you think about it. He knows what I'm thinking. Yes, He does. Don't hide anything from Him. So if He knows so much about us, He knows what makes us tick, and He knows how to cure the problems. So back to the question. You didn't answer it, Pastor. Are you a politician? Why isn't it being used more today? Well, back to the idea, God's Word is simple and straight and to the point. But the devil likes to make things confusing. And the more he can get a hold of your life, the more complicated he will make it. And the further we get away from where God wants us to be, the more complicated our life gets, the more troubles that come into our lives, and the harder it is for us to see our way back out, to apply those simple truths to a complex situation. And so that's why sometimes a counselor is good, because he can start taking those complex situations and giving you God's simple truths that will solve that problem. And you say, can there be a simple solution to a hard problem? Sure, many times there are. They gave an illustration of a husband and a wife who had been married for quite some time, and the wife came in and she was just distraught. She says, "Our marriage just can't go on any longer like this, and her life is just terrible." And she went on and on, and finally he says, "Well, what's the problem?" He says, "Well, my husband, he squeezes the toothpaste tube in the middle, and no matter how hard I try to get him to change, he still does it." He looks over at the husband, and the husband just makes a grin. "What are we going to do, Pastor?" He says, have you ever considered buying two tubes of toothpaste?" They're going, "Oh, you're so smart, Pastor." You know, isn't that simple? There are often simple solutions to our problems. And our problems are not necessarily simple, because they are very life-changing and shattering. And so we don't undermine or downplay the problems we're facing. But I do want you to know that God does have the solutions, and they are in His Word. Maybe we are just not skilled enough in God's Word yet to find them. And we need to get into God's Word a little deeper. So God's Word does have the answers. And someone's saying, "Well, I've got some questions." Well, if you want some questions, God has the answers. And if you want to come, we'll dig them out. If I don't know the answers, we'll find them. Okay? But nonetheless, God does have the answers. That's the first thing I learned. Secondly, I've learned that a strong personal relationship with God is a must for a victorious and fulfilling Christian life. And I have found by observation of not only others but myself that I have a tendency to get caught up in the daily affairs of my life, and I have a tendency to forget about my relationship with God. That ever happened to you? And so it's so easy. One of the things that the pastor that did this last seminar, and he's been counseling for 25, 30 years, and he's had missionaries and people from all the world, and he counsels pastors and all kinds of people. So all people have struggles, okay, just to make that point. And so one of the things that he has come up with is writing a daily journal of your Bible time. In other words, every day when you do your Bible reading, you just put the date down, and then he has specific things he looks for and puts them in his journal. But what he says is a journal doesn't lie. In other words, what he was saying is you can look back and you can find out how many days you really spent with God. Because, you know, our minds get so caught up in things, and we might say, I've been spending time with God. And we go back and look, and you know what? It might have been 3 or 4 days since we've been in God's Word. Very simple to happen, isn't it? I think we all have that struggle. So that relationship with God gets pretty weak. We used to sing a song in Sunday school, and I don't remember how the tune goes anymore. Maybe it was just a saying, but it said, 7 days without prayer makes one weak. Same thing goes with Bible reading or relationship with God. And so this is so important. That's what I've learned. Thirdly, I've learned that men usually seek relief and not change. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Would you say that that's true? When things are going bad and things are tough, we want relief. You know, you hit your finger with a hammer. It's owie, 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 right? And someone says the smart remark, oh, that'll feel so much better when it quits hurting. And you're going like, because it doesn't feel good right now. But isn't it so much better when it quits? We want relief. But if we were to go around, what you really need is change. You need to change the way you're operating that hammer. And that'll give you long-lasting relief, right? You don't have to go through that again. That's what the Bible wants. God wants us to change our way of living so we don't have to go through that struggle again. Now, that just makes common sense. But yet, in our human nature, we just want relief from our problem, but we still like to live the same old way. You know, you could go through like making bread. I like to make bread. And when I started making bread, I had a lot of bricks. You know, those of you that, you know, in other words, it came out, it was really flat. It was unleavened bread, even though it had leaven in it. It just wasn't working right. I found out that if you do the same thing over and over, it still comes out a brick. If you want it to come out fluffy, you have to change something. Same way in life. If you keep making the same mistakes over and over, you're going to have the same problems over and over. Someone says, what is lunacy? It is doing things the same way over and over and expecting a different outcome. All right. So what God wants is a change, because he knows that's best for us and it's going to bring the results we desire. But we, as human creatures, have a tendency to just say, I'd rather stay doing things the way I am, but just not face those consequences. But it doesn't work that way, you know. And so those are the three things I learned. You go like, you just learned that this week? That wasn't that big a deal, Pastor. No, I learned that. It took me longer than this week to get that. But I'm so glad God has the answers. Before I get into the message any deeper, anybody here hot? Okay, it's just hot up here. All right, so here today we're going to look at three fundamental questions that a responsible believer should ask himself if he expects to have a joyful and victorious life. And let's study them in the message today, the three questions that we should ask. Number one, here it is. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Philippians, Philippians chapter 2. Now, that's in the New Testament. It comes after the Gospels, after 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. If you can't find it, look in the front of your Bible in the index, and I'm sure that it have Philippians in the New Testament. It'll tell you what page it's on. It's page 222 in my Bible, but that probably is a little different in yours. But I want you to follow along with me, because I can give you my opinion about life all day long. And even though I hope that it's accurate along with the Bible, it doesn't mean much. What's really important is what God has to say, and that is so important. Philippians chapter 2. If you'll follow along with me, I'm going to read verses 1 through verse 13. And so it's not a very long passage, but I just want you to follow along as I read. It says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now here's the key verses of this passage. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." This is the key to the first question that we have here on our list, is how does God want my thinking and actions to change? Because isn't that what we just decided? We want relief. God wants lasting change so that our life doesn't have to go through those problems and need relief. By the way, how many of you would rather not hit your thumb with the hammer in the first place? And that's what he's saying. We can avoid a lot of these things in our lives if we'll follow God's way of living. But that's going to require some change. Obviously, I would have to admit that I don't always know where I need to change. The Bible says that people think that their way is the best. Have you ever noticed that? My way is the right way. We got these cool shirts that said there's Dad's way and the wrong way. You know, I like those shirts. But you know, that's not always true. Sometimes there's a better way than my way. And when it comes to spiritual matters, many times I am way off. And God's way is the best way. And he's saying here, I want you to change some things in the way of your thinking and the way you act. Now, if Jesus was to come up to you today and say, so-and-so, and just put your name in there, I would like you to change the way you think about this. What would you tell him? God, I appreciate your concern for my life, but I have an idea that I have been through this before, and I think I know a little bit more about my life than you do. Yeah. How did that sound? Didn't sound too good, did it? No, if Jesus came up to him and said, I would like you to change this way that you're thinking, we would say, okay, I'm all ears. That's where we should be. And that's where our heart as a Christian really ought to be and probably has a desire to be. But I have to say that in actuality, in the way we act to our Lord, many times we say, I'm not really interested in what you have to say. We don't get into his word to find out what he wants. And so one of the things that we need to realize is that God has a certain way of thinking and a certain group of actions that are best for us. And he really wants them for us. And so now I want to change the idea that a lot of people have about God. A lot of people think that God has a bunch of rules and regulations that he's wanting to cram down your throat because he's God and you have to. He doesn't want you to have any fun. You can't have any fun by doing what God wants. If you're a Christian and you live godly, oh boy. If you're holy, throw the fun out the window. That's not true. God loves us. And all the regulations, if you want to call them that, are there for our benefit. You know, he's teaching you how not to hit your thumb with the hammer. That's what he's doing. And that's because he cares. How many of you have ever tried to teach your kids to do a job? Maybe washing dishes. How about moms making cookies? Is it easier to make cookies by yourself or with your kids? Now, the kids are all saying, well, obviously it's easier with us because we do all the work. But, you know, that's where your maturity after you've listened to mom comes in. You guys get very good at cooking, don't you? And you can be a very big help to your parents, and that's a blessing. But the first time, I want you to know, and maybe the second time, maybe the third time, maybe more, your parents worked very hard in being patient. And you're saying, they weren't very patient. Well, just think if they weren't working hard at it. But anyway, very patient to train you how to do things so that you would succeed in life. Why do we send our kids to school? So they have to sit there and be bored. Isn't that why parents send their kids to school? I used to think my parents sat up nights trying to find rules for me just to make life miserable. In my mind, I knew better, but yeah, I'm going like, where do they come up with all this? But you know what? They had my best interest in mind. And I appreciate my parents' sacrifice more than they'll ever know of what they went through so that I could be trained in the things of God. And they thought it as very important, and they sacrificed to do so. Are my parents perfect? No way. But you know what? I love them. Why? Because of what they were willing to sacrifice. Now, what are we getting at? I'm getting at the love of God's that way. He isn't out to get you. If he was out to get you, you'd be done. He doesn't need to find a special spot where he can get to advantage on you. If he wanted to, you would be done. What God wants is the best for you. And when we get that idea through our heads and get rid of that lie the devil's placed in there, that God has rules and regulations to make life miserable, and realize that they're to keep us from being hurt and to really enjoy life, that'll change our way of thinking. We say, like, oh, neat. Explain this to me. How can I avoid smashing my thumb, so to speak, in my daily walk? And that's when we'll start to listen. And here, I just want you to note verse 1. I've got to keep going. I have so much neat stuff in this message the Lord gave to me yesterday and the day before. But look at verse 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy. That verse there sounds complicated, but it's very simple. It's just saying this. Do you believe that a life in Christ is a blessing? It's a rhetorical question. Everybody knows what that is, right? That's a question that we ask and we don't expect an answer from the group. It's one that answers itself. Here are the things that it asks if you don't have in Christ. Is there no consolation in Christ? Yes, obviously there is. Consolation means this. It means solace. It means relief during times of grief. It means relief from anxiety. Now, is there any anxiety in America today? Does God want us to be living a life in anxiety? He says, no, he says, it may be a while for us to get out of there, but if you follow this way of thinking and this form of actions, I can get rid of that anxiety for you. Now, won't that be neat? Wouldn't you rather live that way than trying to get relief from anxiety that continually comes into our life? And so God says, I have a plan, and I want to... Is there consolation in Christ? Is there relief from those things? Yes, there is. If you don't know and haven't experienced that, God wants a close relationship with you. He says, I will give you that if you have a close relationship with me. How about this? He says, is there any comfort in love? Comfort in love. Comfort means a strengthening of the mind, assistance and encouragement. Have you ever had someone comfort you? You can think back. Can you think of someone in your life who's been a real comfort? Aren't they special? It just kind of makes a smile come on your face. I know you thought of somebody out there when I saw either a smile or a look of peace. It's just amazing. You just thought of that person and you got peace. Isn't that amazing? What gave you peace? It was that personal relationship you had with them where they were close enough to you that they could hear your problem and encourage you. Can God, the question is here, can you have a close enough relationship with God where I can go to Him with a problem and He can give me comfort? Is that really possible? There's a lot of folks who don't know for sure, and that's fine. But I'm here to tell you today that you can have that close relationship. And that's what God's seeking. And when we get it, oh, there is consolation in Christ. There is comfort. Another one here, he said fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship means an intimate relationship. Have you ever had anybody that they call maybe a bosom buddy? Someone that you just click with right away? You know, you can just tell them anything and they understand. That intimate closeness. Someone you want to be around a lot. Do you have a relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, that you want to have a lot of fellowship with Him? Now, here's one where we would maybe say, yes, I would, but, you know, I don't know what that would really be like because, to be honest with you, I'm really busy in my day and I don't ask God what He wants me to do through my day. I could raise my hand to that many times because, you know what, I get caught up in things and my relationship starts to split. By the way, you ever notice that, ever watch a young couple, maybe they're still dating, you ever notice how they act? You know, you got this young man and this young lady, and they are in love. Okay? Now, this isn't real love. This is infatuation kind of love, right? Because the real love comes after they have their first argument after they're married, you know, and now they're working things out. But, you know, this infatuation, love, she's the most beautiful thing in the world, you know. He's the most handsome thing in the world. He can do anything, and everything he does is right. You know, he doesn't snore yet. You know? He doesn't forget everything yet, you know. Have you ever noticed how attentive that young man is to her needs? You could say, what was she wearing today? Oh, she had this gorgeous blue dress on today. And her hair, oh, was it magnificent? And, oh, I'm getting, I don't mean to embarrass you. But you know what? They've been married for a while. Oh, what'd your wife have today? Oh, I don't know. What you have on the other day? I don't know. What color is her hair? I don't know. What happened? That intimate relationship started to separate because we're busy on other things. Does that mean that you don't love them anymore? No, but you know what? You're in danger of what we would call falling out of love. When people come for counseling, they're ready for a divorce. You know what's gone on already? There's been a long time of this intimacy that's been gone between husband and wife, and all they can do is point out the other one's fault. So they talk about them everywhere that they go to other people. They get all this good counsel from them. You ought to dump that guy. They didn't listen to anybody's counsel before they got married, did they? You know what that guy's like? I don't want to hear it. He's perfect. All right. Afterwards, like, yeah, you're right. I don't know why I ever married him. You know what? The intimacy, when it splits apart, there's no longer comfort there. No time together, intimacy falls apart. When we first got saved, we are so excited about the things of God. And as time goes on and the cares of this world slip in, guess what? Our relationship drifts, and no longer do we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that's why a daily relationship with God becomes so important. And I just want you to note here that, you know, this, is there really consolation in Christ? Can I really find comfort in Him? Oh, yes. Do I have an intimate relationship with Him? Well, I hope so, because you can. But if you let the cares of this world split it up, guess what? You're all on your own. Did God leave you? No, we left Him. And that's where we want to come back to. The other thing here it talks about in this verse is His bowels of mercy. And bowels of mercy is such a special word. I'm so glad God put that in here, because bowels means the deepest seat of your emotions and affections. This is genuine stuff. Okay? This isn't just like, oh, I love you. You know, the kind that comes from the head and the mouth. No, this is the kind that's a commitment. If you're hurting, I'm hurting. Bowels of mercy means, I looked up the word, and the best way I can define this word is, I've been there, I've done that, I understand. This is where you've had gone through some deep grief. And who is going to understand this except someone else who's done it, who's experienced it too? And when you go to them, you have a bond instantly, don't you? Why? Because they understand everything about you and how you feel. You may have someone who hasn't gone through it, and they come up and say, oh, I understand you. And you go like, you don't! Now, that's an emotional outburst, because you're hurting and you're saying, you don't understand because you've not been through this. But you know what Jesus Christ says? I've been through all that you've been through, and I understand. Boy, I could just stop right there. Isn't it exciting how great God is? And that's what He's wanting us to see. I am not here to bludgeon you like the devil says. He deceived Eve and Adam with that same lie years ago. God created the whole world, and He made man have dominion over all of it. And He made a special garden just for Adam and Eve. And the only thing He restricted them from was a tree that would kill them. But He put that there so that they could still have a choice whether they followed Him or not. But you know what? The devil came along and said, what? You know, God's holding back from you. He won't let you have of that tree. Isn't it amazing how we can get so sidetracked over one little thing? And we got to have it. You ever notice how little kids do that? They see something on the table they want, and what does that little hand do? Choo! You ever have to watch your little kids try to keep them from taking stuff off the table? They're fast, aren't they? You know, and when they can't have it, their plate is full, but what do? They go like, you know, would you please remove all this stuff? Can I trade it for that? No, they don't. They go, wah! And they throw a fit. You know what? Do adults do any different when God says this is bad for you and we want it? We go, wah! And we throw a fit with God. We really do. God's saying, I love you. This is here for your best. Can you understand that? And boy, after reading verse 1, I understand it. God really does care, and He wants me to be close to Him so I can have all those benefits. Now, you're like, you took a long time. I know, that was only supposed to take 5 minutes. Now I'm running out of time. But first, my relationship with God must be right. I must understand that He loves me, and that's why He has brought this change that He wants in my life. So, then my relationship with others must be right, and how in the world am I going to accomplish that? I mean, have you seen the people I have to live with? They're just like yours, aren't they? That's what I thought. I might even be on that list. Ooh, that scares me. But, you know, I hope I'm not. But nonetheless, people are not always Christ-like. People that claim to be Christians are not always sincere in their walk with God. And you know what? If you personally, or myself personally, am not close to God, my life starts to change and I don't even know it. My attitude changes. My demeanor changes. Maybe that's basically the same thing. My actions change and I become miserable to be around. Can you believe it that I might actually become a crab in my own house? But you know what? It's awful hard to be crabby when you've just come out of a Bible study and an hour of prayer with God. Someone jumps on you and you go, ah, where did that come from? But you're going like, phew, I'm sure glad I spent some time with God this morning. Because you know what I would have done if I hadn't? You see, my relationship with God now flows over into my relationship with others. Here's the difference between biblical teaching, counseling, and worldly counseling. Worldly counseling would tell me that I need to put up with that person, that I need to find some inner strength to realize his problem and put up with it. Biblical counseling, and by the way, do you ever run out of strength to do that? Biblical counseling says, I have a creator that I have a relationship with who cares and comforts and gives me strength. And as I'm walking with him, that person comes up and he's abrasive. I'm just talking with the Lord. I said, boy, he sure is abrasive. Yeah, I know. He needs me too, doesn't he? Christ is living through me and I see him in a whole different light. God is taking care of the problem. You see how much difference that is? It's huge. It gives us a way to deal with problems instead of trying to do it in our own strength. Because I don't know about you, but some people rub my hair the wrong way and they don't quit. They don't quit when I say, okay, I'm at the end of my limit. Stop now. They don't stop there. And so I might just what? Go over the edge. I might no longer be like a pastor, because pastors never get angry, right? I have had people tell me that. They go like, we're going through a problem. I said, oh, you shouldn't lose your temper like that. And they go like, well, it's easy for you. You're a preacher. Well, since when did that make it easy? Let me get you a label and put on your shirt, preacher. Now, how's that feel? Now, it doesn't work that way. A relationship with God is important, isn't it? It now flows through me. He says, here are your Christ-like actions. He lists them in verses down here, verses 2 through 4. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Oh, wait a minute. So when I have contention, strife is contention, right? You ever have contention in the home? I know you guys had perfect homes. I'm so glad you never had contention. But I have had contention, believe it or not, in my Christian home. I'm not proud of it, but contention was there. And you know where contention comes from? The Bible here said contention comes from wanting your own way. Believe it or not, in my house we have people that wanted their own way. I know. I'm being sarcastic, aren't I? It's true. But that's where contention comes from. If I'm wanting God's way, and they're wanting God's way, when our two ways part, there's a problem. What is that? One of us isn't wanting God's way, because if we both want His way, we both want the same thing. And that's what unity is, by the way. It talks about this unity that God wants us to have. When we are both seeking to please God, we're in unity. What is uniformity? That's what most churches and most people push. You have to be like me. What a big mistake. Can you imagine if everybody was like you? Ho, ho, ho. And I'm not picking on you. I was just thinking about me. I have so many shortcomings. I praise the Lord that He has chosen to make me pastor this church only because I feel so honored to have such great people to try to help and to feed. But the responsibility is far beyond me. And I realize that there's no way I can do the job that I need to do in this church and in this ministry to fulfill the work of God. But I do know this, that where I fall short, God has gifted you to make up the difference. Now, if you're expecting me to have everything that's needed, we're in trouble. But if we're all of the same mind to please God, we're a team. And we're going to succeed and we're going to do something great for God. And that's what it's all about. That is unity. Uniformity is me expecting everybody to learn the same thing as I've learned at the same time I learn it and do it. And it doesn't work that way. Praise the Lord. So, boy, this is some deep stuff, but it's not. It's simple, isn't it? It's all about our relationship with God that changes our relationship with others. He says you'll no longer have strife, contention, wanting your own way. You'll no longer have vainglory. Now, what is vainglory? Self-conceit, My way is the best way. My way is the only way. My way or the highway. You ever heard that? Thankfully, it wasn't in your home. And then, humility. It says, humility, esteeming others better than yourself. I really feel that way. I don't know why. You know, we have this philosophy in our churches today. I'm only going to get to point one. I'll share the rest next week. But we have this philosophy in churches today that the pastor and the deacons, they're up here. And then they have this word they call the lay people. Where do they? It's almost like two classes. Where does that come from? We have God's people. The ground is level at the cross. But we have a pastor, and we have deacons, and we have the people in the church, all with a different job and a order that God has set up to keep organization and things working properly, because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. So I'm responsible. I catch it for my failures, and I'm responsible to see that things are going well. But you know what? We're all on the same plane in our relationship with God. And so, of course, I'm held higher, more accountability. So, you know, with privileges comes responsibility, they say. Well, with position, God says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. That's why you need to pray for me. Do you ever think about that? Do you realize how much accountability is on my shoulders? And that's why the Bible says in a passage, it says that we're supposed to submit to the leadership because they give an account for your soul, that they might do it joyfully. You see, I'm going to have to stand before God for how your lives turn out someday. And I sure want to stand beside you and go, you got that other reward for him? Yeah, there it is. All right, great, good job. There's another one. And you're going to be going like, but I didn't deserve these. I know, but you did what God asked you to do. And He earned them through you. And you're going to be so excited and say, here, Lord, here they're back. And you know how big your smile's going to be in eternity when you have something to give back to the Lord? But do you realize how disappointed you're going to be when you sit and you say, I spent all these years of my life and I really don't have any treasures or any rewards because I lived them all for here and now. And now all that stuff on the earth is done for and it's all burned up and it's gone. It's temporal. It only lasted 100 years. And now I have an eternity with nothing eternal to think of. That's my goal as a pastor, is to see as many people who don't know Jesus Christ come to personal relationship with Him. And secondly, to see His children earn as many heavenly rewards as possible. And then that success for, you know what? Not only you, me, but for you too. That's going to be wonderful. And you know what? You're going to give them all back to Christ because He's the one who earns them. And I just want you to know this, that if you go back to the devil's philosophy and try to earn all those rewards in your own strength, it's not going to work. It comes with a relationship with Christ so that He can work through you. I'm trying to change our way of thinking. I think God wants us to change our way of thinking. He wants us to have a relationship with Him that's so strong that He bubbles out of us. The Bible says that. The Holy Spirit. So issue what? Rivers of living water. That comes from God in a relationship. Isn't that neat? So what in the world gets in the way of all these things? How does God want my thinking and my actions to change? It says, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What is God's good pleasure to do with you? Think about that for a minute. From what we've learned today from God's Word, what do you think God would have pleasure in doing with you? How many parents, what do parents get pleasure out of their kids doing? Would a parent be proud that their kid has a wonderful time partying it up and then ending up in prison? Or would they have more joy and satisfaction knowing that their child has grown up responsibly, has made wise choices, and now is successful and reaping the blessings? God wants you to grow up responsible in a relationship with Him, our actions then reflecting that, and then reaping the blessings that comes with a life of Christ. Isn't that neat? That is His good pleasure and will for you. Now, if He wills the best for you, why do we want to do it differently? Everybody here says, well, I don't want to do it differently. Okay, so when God comes to you, and says this to you, I want to change your way of thinking and some of your actions. What do you say? He said, well, Pastor, he's never come to me and asked me that. Okay. Would you like him to? Let me tell you how he does it. He asks you to pray to him every day, because that's talking together, right? Remember that young couple relationship? If they didn't talk together, how many would get married? I mean, even the ones that I see from, you know, I have some friends that married somebody from Russia, you know, and they came over here and they married them or whatever. You know how they got together? Texting and chatting and back and forth, or what's that other one they call? Skype. They do through Skype. Okay? So there was communication going on. That's how relationships are built. We have to communicate with God. How do you communicate with God? How do you speak to Him? That's in prayer. And how does He speak to us? When we read the Bible, study it, and we'll look at meditating on it a little bit later. So I want to ask you, where are you right now in that relationship? Because I think in the message today, God has made it clear that He really wants the best for us, right? And He has a good plan. And it's going to turn out great if we follow it. And so what is He asking? Us to listen to Him, have a relationship so He can show it to us. If we never listen to it, if our kids don't listen to us as parents, what happens to their life? They go through the school of hard knocks, right? Learn things the hard way. If they listen to your advice, what happens? They save a lot of grief. I'm trying to think of how much I should share here. But you know what? Sometimes Christians look down at other people and say, like, you know what? That person's life sure is a mess. What is wrong with them? I want you to know that no matter who you look at and no matter what stage in life they are, you can look at me and there's one of them same people, but by the grace of God. What that means is God has delivered me from that. Maybe I've never actually done it, but I want you to know this, that if it hadn't been for Him and Him teaching me His way in life, I would have done it. Now, does that mean that I go ahead and say, well, that's fine to live in there? No, I want to get them out of there. But how do I do that? By showing them that God has something better. And so each one of us here have a testimony. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you can say, hey, here's what the Lord has delivered me from. But it's all God. And it all comes from that relationship between Him and I. And so I want to ask you this. How is your relationship with God? And here's how you measure it. How much time last week did you spend in prayer and reading your Bible? Because those are the first two forms of communication that we can have with God. And they're the basic communications with God. I don't want anybody mad at me, but I do know this, that if you were to take a journal and you were to write down what you read last week each day, how many days would be full? If you're saying, I don't like that number, you know what? There's a solution. You have Sunday is the first day of the week. That's the day. A lot of people say, I'll start that tomorrow. You know what I found out about tomorrow? Never gets here. Can I challenge you today to say, Lord, I realize that my relationship with You has not been what it needs to be. Lord, today, either right now or in the invitation, I am going to give my life to a relationship with You. Lord, will You help me to have a closer relationship with You? You remind me that I haven't read my Bible, and I'll go read it. Will you promise Him that? If He reminds you to read your Bible, will you go do it? And then some say, well, what if I'm busy? Can I ask you what's more important in this world than a relationship with God? Really? Can we give something up? Is that too much to ask to just spend time with God? And so there's a challenge. Wow, that's a simple message, isn't it? But yet it is the key to a victorious Christian life. Where are we at? I love that journal. Why? Because it shows you where we're at. You know what a pastor told me one day, and I'll close with this? He said, we have it easy. I said, what do you mean? He said, I know what you're thinking. He says, but no. He says, we have it easy. He says, because we are almost forced to be in God's Word, because we have to have this message and we have to have this and we have to be ready to counsel. He says, but if you get into your everyday life, so to speak, as in your job and people keeping you up late. It's easy to say, I'll put my Bible reading off till later in the day and then be too tired at night and go to bed. And the next thing you know, you've gone 3 days, 5 days, a week, 2 weeks without being in God's Word. It's so easy to happen. I said, you know, you're right. He says, here's a way to look at it. If you go on vacation, do you still read your Bible? Yes, I do, but I do know how easy it is to forget. You want to sleep in, right? Because you're really tired. This is vacation week. And so here, oh boy, sitting here with the stream running by, Colorado Springs up in the cabin. This is great. No cell phone reception. It's quiet up here. This is great. Oh, now it's time to get up and get going. We got to go see some sights, right? Before the crowds get there. You know how it is. You get in the vehicles, you go see these cool sights, go to the amusement parks. You guys like that? Go drive up Pikes Peak. The Lord allowed me to do that. You're like, what's the big deal about Pikes Peak? I've always wanted to do that. So God let me do that. Didn't even know I was going to do that. But it was great when I got there. So what are you saying? It's easy to forget. But you can't have a relationship without communication. All right. Let's go ahead and close in a hymn of invitation. If the Lord has spoke to you today, can I challenge you to make that prayer? Maybe He wants you to come forward just as a public expression that God spoke to you. That's between you and Him. That's excellent because that solidifies the things that much more for many people. But nonetheless, during the invitation, will you say, Lord, I commit today to having that relationship with you. Let's stand and sing hymn number 454, a perfect song for this. I have decided to follow Jesus. Question with no one looking around. Is there anyone here who says, Pastor, Lord spoke to my heart and I want a closer relationship with Him. Will you pray for me this week that I'll be able to fulfill that? Would you raise your hand? I'll pray for you. I won't call your name. All right, I see those hands. Anyone else? All right, let's go ahead and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. And Lord, this prayer is for me and for those that have raised their hands. And Lord, maybe some didn't have the courage to raise their hand, but Lord, their heart's desire is even that they would be able to fulfill this act of a closer walk with you. Lord, would you just please work in their lives, and Lord, just bless them through this week. Lord, remind them, and then Lord, when we're busy and we forget, Lord, just impress strongly upon our hearts that we need that time with you. Lord, may we come back next week excited and ready to receive the next step in our walk with you and a closeness to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Lord bless you.